Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Toughman Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Eco Marathon and Half Marathon and 10K. Coming up Saturday, November 18th, ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, DonateCAF.com. We just sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game alive through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com, on iTunes, and as always, endurance lives here. I'm really excited. Our new CEO of USA Triathlon, Mr. Rocky Harris, joins us. Rocky, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations on being involved, not being involved, but being heading up what I consider the world's greatest sport in the United States.
Thanks a lot, Bob. I'm excited to chat with you today and excited about the future of triathlon here in America.
So first of all, where's the name Rocky come from?
You know, my dad was a football coach, and he was, 6'3", 220 pounds, and my mom was 5'1". And I ended up looking a lot more like my mom than my dad, so the name doesn't really fit me. But it just always stuck, because, it's actually my middle name. And he'd come home every day from work and say, "Rocky, Rocky!" And I'd run up and jump in his arms, and after that, I was just Rocky forever.
So in terms of your professional background, you've been at Arizona State and been very, very involved. And what I love seeing that you've done is just sort of incorporating some of the Olympic type of sports into what you're doing there, and also the fundraising aspect and getting the fans involved. Talk to me a little through your philosophy of how you grow something you've got something that's been around for a long time, and you sort of have to change the whole mindset.
You really do, and I saw this at ASU. We had stuck around the same level at ASU for about 10 years of about $50, $55 million in revenue. The number of sports had stayed the same, and so we decided we wanted to go through a growth curve and change that. So we came in and really just changed the whole mindset of the athletics department, of our donors, of our fans, that we could reach a higher potential than they thought that we possibly could. And part of that was advancing the Olympic sports overall. We put a real focus on that because for us at ASU, and really college athletics in general, everybody's so focused on football and basketball, we're really leaving the other sports behind. It's unfair. And to me, the Olympic sports and college athletics are so tied together. The reason why Americans and the United States are so good at Olympics is because college athletics is thriving so much.
Right.
We're the pipeline for the Olympics. And for us not to put a focus on it is really doing a disservice to the entire industry. And so we really did. I mean, we went out and decided to hire the best and brightest coaches. We hired Bob Bowman, the USA swimming coach, as our swimming coach. We hired Zeke Jones, the USA gymnastics, wrestling coach, as our wrestling coach. And we really just decided when we're gonna focus on Olympic sports like most schools focus on football. And it's really transformed the way that we operate. And I think we've created a new model for college athletics overall. And we added four sports, including women's triathlon. And that's not easy to do. And you have to go find money to do that. We got a $32 million donation to add hockey, women's triathlon, and women's lacrosse. Everybody said you should be cutting sports, not adding them at this time. And we just decided we're going to do it differently, and it's really working for us.
Well, and you with your Sun Devil Club, you broke fundraising records. What I love is in 2015, you raised $86 million, and 2011, it was $7.47 million. So,
and that's really just getting people connected to the cause, right? And, and really relating to people. And when you tell people how their dollars can make an impact, you see people starting to give. They have to believe and trust that the entity can follow through. They have to trust the people they're giving their money to. But we've even, our revenues overall went from $52-55 million up to $100 million now. And it's not because we're focused on revenue. I want to be clear about that. That's actually not our focus. We were building a strong brand. We were getting people involved. We were collaborating with new partners that we never talked to before. And what happens is if the broader your base, the more people that get involved, the more money you're going to make. And so I'll say this, even with USA Triathlon, my focus is not generating revenue. My focus is getting people to start participating in the sport, to elevating our national team to even higher levels than they are, to building a pipeline to that, and to making the sport accessible to everybody. And I think that when we can create pathways for that and break down barriers for people to participate, people are going to want to get involved. Companies are going to want to get involved, and we're going to generate the revenue on the backside. But I'm not a revenue focused person. I'm a brand builder, and I'm somebody who believes if you get people and start pulling at their heartstrings instead of their wallet, they start giving naturally, and that's what my focus is: building a strong brand that's really collaborative and brings everyone that cares about triathlon together.
What's fascinating is just having this conversation with Graham Frazier, who ran Ironman North America for so long.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we were both talking about, when I had Competitor Magazine and we'd sit at our meetings, revenue was never the first thing we brought up. It was always about how do we make the product better? How do we make the consumer experience better? And Graham was like that. How do we make the Ironman events better than they've ever been? And the dollars come. Because that's your focus. When your focus becomes, when big corporate gets involved, sometimes the focus becomes dollar, 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 budget, 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 and you lose sight of what we have, which is this beautiful sport. And then the numbers start to decline. I've seen, the sport with USA Triathlon, the numbers have declined. And my big push has been, and I'm sure you're sort of on the same page, we got to grow to sport, the sport of triathlon, and USA Triathlon will benefit when there's more people participating in the sport.
Yeah, and I think we have to, exactly what you said. When you build for the long term, which is building a brand that people care about versus trying to get that next transaction, that next dollar, that next member, you become very short-term focused. And that what that does is it makes you make really poor decisions because you're not building anything then. You're just trying to, make sure your next quarter is looks good on paper.
Yep.
And I've just never believed in that. I don't think that's a sustainable business model. And I think with triathlon in particular, we have a real opportunity right now, real potential to take what is a sport that millions of people care about in America and make it so people now see it differently. They don't view it as, major roadblocks to participate. I think breaking down those barriers that are going to come with USA Triathlon, not get involved with the politics of the past and really focused on, okay, I don't care. The neat thing about me is I love triathlon. I'm a participant.
Yes.
But I don't I'm not as embedded in it. So I can bring a fresh perspective. And I think that's really going to help because I don't care what's happened in the past. My job is to get people to participate, to love the sport, to enjoy the sport, to believe in the sport, get communities participating in it, getting people to believe that they can do it no matter who they are, no matter where they're from, no matter what their background is, no matter what their age is. And I think if I do that, and allow other people in the industry to make money, to do everything they need to do to grow their individual businesses, we're all going to thrive. And so I don't see anyone in America being our competitors. I see everyone being a part of what we need to do to grow as a sport. And so I think that, just me having, I started triathlon at ASU. I've been involved with triathlon as a participant, mm-hmm. but I'm not embedded in the culture so much that my naivety is what's going to help, I think.
Absolutely.
And I think that's going to help because I don't care. I'm going to make decisions on what's right for triathlon and not in the individual interest.
I love that. Yeah, what's fascinating, right now we are in what I call the endurance entertainment marketplace, which used to be running, triathlon, cycling, mountain biking, now has Spartan Race, Tough Mudder, Warrior Dash, Color Run, so much more clutter out there. And when you look at the sport of triathlon, a number of the issues we deal with is, one, it's expensive, right? Wetsuit and bike. And then to me, the main deterrent, if I'm going to go do a Spartan race and I need a pair of shoes and maybe I'll wear shorts, maybe not. You can go out there and do whatever you want. But when you're going to do triathlon and you're thinking about jumping into a body of water where it's cold, there's current, there's kelp, there's the unknown, it's scary, that swim safety, that getting people comfortable in water, we can talk social media and all the rest. It's getting people to understand that we're doing clinics. We're getting you water safe because this sport will change your life forever.
Yeah, and I think, for us, even if you look at it, that's why I say there's no competitors. USA Swimming, they want to get people to swim.
Yes.
Swimming's our pipeline.
Absolutely.
Right? So they're not a competitor. We're gonna work with them.
Yep.
Every running club, they're all feeding up to triathlon if we do things right. And it's not only breaking down barriers, psychological barriers, like you talked about swimming, of trying to get involved.
Yep.
It is socioeconomic. And I think that's where we can get partners and individuals to get involved. and offset some of those costs. I saw this at Arizona State when we started triathlon. We went around and started talking to the triathlon stores, to the bike stores, and they started basically doing trades with us to give us the equipment we needed with no cost because they care about the sport. And if we can take that to another level where we can take it across the entire country and get big companies like Coca-Cola or whoever mm-hmm. to get involved and support this and break down those economic barriers, we're going to really see the sport grow and grow rapidly. And I think that's part of my goals, you know, over the next few years is start building those strategic partnerships that we can start getting these partners to invest in, you know, kids from the inner city and other people who wouldn't have the opportunity to participate. Let's break down every barrier. Let's lay out all the barriers and let's figure out ways to break them down. I mean, one for me is, you know, you have to show up to a race 3 hours before the race to set up, you know?
Yes, you do.
That's a barrier.
Big time.
You know, I'm an early, I like getting in early, but I don't like sitting around waiting for a race for 4 hours. When I'm a cyclist and when I ride, you know, go to a cycling event, I just pull my bike up and I'm, you know, 5 minutes beforehand, I start riding.
Exactly.
And I think we just have to think about every barrier and what we can do as a sport to break those down and to change that. The mindset really across America, when I say I'm working for USA Triathlon or I say I participate in triathlons, they automatically go to Ironman.
Yes, they do.
And so they see it as a huge psychological barrier. And so, you know, for me, when, you know, I see us as a pipeline to Ironman.
Totally.
And vice versa, and back and forth. So there's no competition out there. We all want to see it grow, and I think we're going to see rapid growth because there's enough people who care out there about the sport. We have enough advocates. I think they just need to be re-energized, and we need to focus everyone on one vision as a sport across the country, and that's getting people involved.
So one of the when I was involved with a competitor bought all the Rock and Roll Marathons, one of my big things was, oh my God, 650,000 people who are putting numbers on who can run less and run forever by getting involved with the sport of triathlon. And it wasn't really something that that was ever, you know, followed up on. But to me, that cross-section of 60% women, and that is our future, right? That's the future of triathlon, that brand new group of people who can do their half marathons or marathons by running less, running forever, and swimming, cycling, running, and doing all the other cross training to get them through that. Will that be a target as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, running, cycling, swimming. But running is the easiest point of entry because
it is.
You can just put on shoes and go.
Absolutely.
Right? You don't have to have
yep.
a pool. You don't have to have anything. So I think that's an automatic, and we need to. And again, even the running club, we're an add-on to what they're doing, right? We're not taking anything away from them. And I think as we start talking to different groups out there, potential partners, people we can collaborate with, when they see that our approach is not to take, it's to give to the sport, I think they're going to really, the mindset's going to change that we're not, in the endurance world, we're all together in this. And it's not a bunch of separate groups. Right now it is.
Absolutely.
And I think the triathlon, because we're multi-sport, can really bring the groups together. I mean, my first meeting on my first day next week, I'm having lunch with the CEO from USA Cycling.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to meet with USA Swimming. I'm going to meet with all of them.
I'm going
to meet with Ironman, my I think, third day on the job.
Lifetime.
And lifetime, exactly. I think we just need to break down the barriers of the past. And I know that that'll continue to be my message, but it's true. And because, again, I'm somebody new to the sport, relatively new, I feel like I can help with that. And I'll bring people on like you, Bob, I know believe the same thing. And I think as long as then we have an army of people out there that all have the same vision and goals in mind. And when that happens,
great things happen.
I've seen this in the NFL when I worked for the 49ers. I saw this in soccer when I worked at the Houston Dynamo. When you stop trying to compete with people who are not really competing with you, you end up, you know, it's the old, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. When we come together and we do things, it takes it to another level. And I saw this at ASU as well. And I think what I can help bring to the sport is a marketing background, a communication background, but also I just believe strongly in collaborative strategic partnerships where everybody wins. And when that happens, your business grows, the sport grows, everything grows. So there'll be target groups like running clubs, but mm-hmm. I think we have to look at a lot of different target groups and we have to have a different strategy around each of them and figure out, okay, how do we approach them differently than a cycling group? How do we approach them differently than this or that group? And I think when we have a plan around each of our target groups, we can start seeing them grow and measuring it as well.
So when was your first triathlon, and what was it about this sport that you realized the light bulb went on and you're like, oh, my God, this sport is special?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was a comeback for me. I was with my wife in 2009 in Belize. We were on vacation, and I got bit by a bug, and I got an infectious disease that put me out of commission for over a year.
Oh, my God.
Between a year and 2 years. Yeah, physical, mental, and I was going through all types of treatments. Nothing was really working for me either. And finally, the medicine started working. They just kept trying new things on me. And I hadn't worked. I'm a guy who's always worked out my whole life. I've always been an athlete. Always, you know, participated in sports. I just love competing. And so I started looking. I got to do something. And I had done, you know, MS-150s, big cycling rides. And I said, you know, I'm going to try something different. I want to do something that's more meaningful. And so I started looking, and I actually got to USA Triathlon's website. And I said, I'm going to do a triathlon after I read a few articles there. And so I ended up doing a triathlon in Corpus Christi. My first one was there in 2011. And I just fell in love with the sport after that. And so that's, you know, I've participated in many since then, done half Ironmans, done, you know, many Olympic distance, my favorite. But you know, I enjoy the sport. And I bought in, and, you know, when you become passionate about something and when you really care about something, you start, you know, kind of living it and breathing it every day.
Uh-huh.
And so when I saw that the NCAA was looking to add triathlon, it was a no-brainer for me and for us as an institution to jump on board, because, you know, I know that there, although we've had stagnant growth over the last 3 years, the opportunity is endless. I think, too, there's a real opportunity, and this is just another target group, is, you know, parents now, there's kind of a pushback. There is you try to focus your kid on one sport. This is kind of this movement, right, the Chinese-Russian movement. In America, it's been going on for the last 10 or 15 years, too. And I think there's going to be a big pushback from my generation, for me, where I have young kids right now. I don't want my kids to just focus on one sport. I want them to learn many sports. I want them to be diverse. I want them to experience different things. And I think multi-sport, I think triathlon can be one of those answers, that you can do all three sports at once. You can have a diverse offering without just focusing on one sport. And I think their parents like me, and I've talked to many of them. I know this is just a story, but it's true. I talked to many of them, and they all say, I don't want my kid to be focused on one sport anymore. And so I think we have a real point of entry there that we can capitalize on.
Well, you think about it, all the kids now, if they get into soccer, then they're on the traveling teams, and it's all soccer 24/7, 365, and the same with baseball. And then these kids up getting injuries because it's overuse. They're not.
Exactly.
That's a great thing about triathlon is it's the you've seen kids do triathlon, they love it.
Oh,
it's the
amazing.
Perfect sport.
I mean, two of the most motivating things for me are people that have disabilities or have, you know,
yep,
have physical
challenges.
Ailments.
Right, yep.
Challenge, unbelievable to see. And then kids. When I see kids, there's just something to it. It's special. You know, going to triathlons, and I watch the little kids more than even the elite athletes, because there's just something really special to that. And I think that's one segment that is actually growing that hasn't had any atrophy is the very young kid. And I think that shows great opportunity for the future of our sport.
Well, and obviously the growth with paratriathlon being in the Paralympics for the first time in 16, and we, you know, through CAF, we had a paratriathlon team. That area is growing as well. And not so much the racing side, but just the ability for kids and adults who are missing legs or in a wheelchair to realize, you know what, everything is available for me. There is nothing that stands in my way. A piece of equipment, we can take care of that. Get you to the start.
You know, and I saw this, Bob, myself. One of my best friends, I grew up, and he's still one of my best friends to this day. Known each other since first grade. He had one leg growing up, right?
Yep.
And he was one of the best athletes that I've ever been around. But he, you know, when I was growing up, he didn't have opportunities.
None.
He just did not. He played on my soccer team, played foot. He did it all. But it wasn't real opportunities, right? It was kind of like you fit in with everybody else and deal with it. And you know, he and I have had a lot of talks about this since I got the job. And, you know, and he went and did his own research and saw how much, I mean, you're doing, right? Challenge Athletes
right.
Foundation.
Yeah.
What USA Triathlon is doing with the Paralympics. I mean, I think this opportunity for Paralympics overall, especially I think triathlon can be one of the movements because it already motivates and inspires people. Just think about if we start telling stories around individuals who've overcome obstacles, whether, you know, they be physical ailments or other, and start telling those stories a little better even than we have. I think that's when we're going to see a lot of people inspired to participate. They're going to be inspired by our elite athletes, and we have to do a better job telling their stories. But the regular age groupers who have these compelling stories, that's why Ironman's grown so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the show that they have is brilliant. It's the NBC Olympic model that they use for the Olympics. You fall in love with these people you didn't even know 10 minutes ago. And I think we just have to do a better job of telling those stories.
What's fascinating about that is when you look at the athletes and you look at what they want, right? What I see is, and you can help me with this, again, that swim being the deterrent to so many people, one of the things we have here in Southern California, we have 8 or 9 of these what I call pool triathlons that start with a 5K run, then a 10 or 12 mile bike ride, and finish with a 150-yard swim in a pool. And they are selling out. 1,000 people, 900 people, 1,200 people, because people want to be triathletes. It's sexy. Yep. It's the coolest sport in the world, but the swim scares them. So now you do the swim last when the water's warm. There's lane lines. There's walls. You can stop, and you're still a triathlete. And that's our entry point. That's where we get people in. And my goal is to keep, you know, I put a little video together on how it works to get race directors to put these on. Because if there's a pool, if you have a pool, there's people who live by there. Nobody's building a recreational center, and there's nobody living around there. And those people are all future triathletes.
Yeah, you know, since I've been on the job, really, I start next week, but I've kind of been on the job since I've been announced. And, you know, some of the people I talked to in Omaha at the national championships were, the way that they started were things just like you said.
Exactly.
You know, they started swimming or you know, even the indoor lifetime tries that they do. You know, it's just again, taking those barriers away, the psychological barriers of, you know, they want to be a triathlete, but they think that it's impossible. So let's start them somewhere, you know, dip their toes in the water and let them try it. And then they'll fall in love and they'll want to do a little more and a little more and a little more. And that's what we have to do as a sport is I don't think it's we don't have to focus the mid-level Olympic or, you know, the sport level. I think we really have to focus on exactly what you're trying to do there is figure out different paths. That's one great opportunity. But I think there's, you know, 50, 60 different ideas that are already happening across America. And we just have to look at them and help people replicate them across other markets. And I think if we do that as the governing body, as a federation, is take best practices and share them broadly and allow everybody to try these different ideas in different markets, that's how we're going to grow.
So when we chat a year from now, I bet you we'll be over 200,000 members. That's what I'm guessing. Your enthusiasm is very special.
And I really care about it. And I think what, you know, we have right now, you know, overall, including, you know, just day members, is, you know, 500,000 advocates for us, right?
They
really love what we do. We have to do a better job of getting them to get people involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when I talk to that core group of people, they are as avid about triathlon as they are about anything except for maybe their family and maybe their religion, right? And so we just have to get them, we have to point them in the right direction and say, here's how you help us grow. And many of them will. I've seen this, I saw this happen in college athletics. You know, we doubled our membership at ASU in like a 2 or 3 year period. But most of it was not us doing brilliant work, it was us positioning our brand the right way and getting our most avid constituents to get their friends, family, and others involved with ASU. And that's how we did it. So it's not always complicated. It's not always, you know, there's not really a magic bullet. But that's one thing that I've seen work very well is getting your biggest advocates, your ambassadors out there. And you got to point them in the right direction, though. Here's what we need from you to help us grow. And then they will. I don't think when I've talked to them, they haven't been pointed in the right direction. They don't know how to help us outside of participating. And so they just haven't.
The storytelling aspect, which I think has obviously helped grow Ironman and the NBC show. People don't remember the Jan Frodeno won Ironman, but they remember that this guy, Dick Hoyt, was out there pulling his son in a raft. Well, what wouldn't a father do for a son? And who can't relate to that? That's one of the areas that USA Triathlon, I think, has relied maybe on Ironman to do that storytelling, where I think USA Triathlon can be doing that storytelling and really should be doing that storytelling, because then it becomes more about not just that long, long distance. We want people to, this sport changes your life. No, doesn't matter what the distance is.
I completely agree. And I think as a governing body, I think it's our responsibility to do a better job telling those stories.
I agree.
It's part of what our role is that, you know, it's not only collaborating, bringing groups together, being a service entity. It's about making sure people understand the good stories, because we all have good stories. Everybody has a story to tell, right? I talk to people all the time that I'm so boring, I'm this. Well, everybody, there's something about them that will inspire other people. And I think even at the national team level, you know, is they're at the top of the pyramid, right? They're the group that people really want to aspire to be, especially in America. Our elite athletes are at the top. But everyone within that pyramid is important. I think we have to tell stories at all levels. And that's something I really hope, you know, that we resource the right way, that I'll put focus on. And it'll be something that I think a year from now you'll notice. And for me, you know, as you said, we'll get to 200,000 members. That's less important to me than it is to get to how many more people are participating that didn't participate before.
Exactly.
And how many people who have participated are staying with us and participating again. So I think, you know, it's not just about members, which is, that's a reflection of participation. It's about allowing people to participate, giving them points of entry, connecting them to groups like you who can help them get started. And I think that that's what our role is as a governing body. It's not just to get members. That's a byproduct of the success of growing the sport.
It's to be a collaborator, and it's to work with the stakeholders. And we're all stakeholders, from the race director to the age group athlete to the Olympian. We're all part of the same family. Rocky, thank you.
Bob, I know we got to go, but I want to say this, that we have to create value for all of our stakeholders, right? I think the value proposition for some, including race directors and others, we haven't done a good job of providing real value to them. It's been more transactional in the past.
Yep.
So one of my goals is to listen and understand where their needs are and how we can help them grow, and start heading down that path. So it's not just about participants, it's the whole ecosystem.
Perfect. Yeah, and we need to get USA Triathlon to be more than just, hey, we provide insurance.
Who cares about that, right?
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, that's should
important.
Just be part of what we do, and no one should even talk about that. It should be about all the other services we provide, the value we bring, we drive people to their events. That's what we should be about.
Love it. Rocky, thank you so much for taking time, and congratulations on the new role as CEO of USA Triathlon. I think you're going to do an amazing job, and if I can help in any way, shape, or form, please let me know.
Appreciate it. And same goes with me. As you know, if you, I know that you're obviously a legend in the sport. As you're seeing things happen with USA Triathlon, I'll actually say this to all of your listeners. Please reach out to me directly, because I want to learn from people, hear from people. And again, I'm not going to implement everything that everybody has, or we won't be able to do anything. But I love new ideas, and I like getting them from people who care the most. So my email is rocky.harris@usatriathlon.org. Please feel free to reach out to me and give me your ideas.
That's so cool. Hey, and a date to put on your calendar. October 22nd is our 24th annual San Diego Triathlon Challenge. That's our CAF fundraiser here in San Diego at beautiful La Jolla Cove. You need to, if your schedule is not totally booked, I think it's a day that changes people's lives. We'll have 140-plus challenged athletes out there participating with able-bodied athletes, and so much of the mentoring that happens in our world happens there. So it's very, very special.
No, if I am available, I will be there.
Love it. Rocky Harris has been a guest again. We are brought to you by ToughManTry.com, VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, RunCatalina.com, ATVSwimSpas.com, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. In our first 24 years, we've raised $90 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.